Once again, we ask you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation, the book of Revelation is to the New Testament what the book of Daniel is to the Old Testament. Both Daniel and the book of Revelation here tells us about events that are going to come upon this world. Now, there's a difference between the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. The book of Daniel, we're told to close the book. If you turn quickly to Daniel chapter 12, Daniel was told to close the book. Verse 9, Daniel 12, verse 9. And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end." In Daniel's day, these events were a long way off. But in our day, we're told to open the book. You'll notice what it says at the close of the book of Revelation. It says there, in this great book, that we're not to add to it. But you'll notice he says there at verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy, of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." You'll notice there that John is told to open the book. You'll find it at verse 7. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Verse 10. "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." We are to open the book, beloved, and bless the name of our Lord. There's a blessing for us when we open the book. Did you notice what it said in chapter 1, verse 3? "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Beloved, there's a blessing for us when we read the Bible. There's a particular blessing for us when we read the book of Revelation. This book, the Bible as a whole, is all about the Lord Jesus. Someone is coming. Someone has come. He has gone away, but bless God, he's coming back again. You will notice there that this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, we find that the Lord Jesus is typified all the way through. Every type, every shadow speaks about the Lamb of God that would come and take away the sin of the world. In the Gospels, the Lord Jesus is crucified, but in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus is glorified. And that's what we want to do today. We want to see our glorified Lord. Didn't the hymn writer have it right when he said, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." May the Lord come strangely near to us today and give us eyes anointed with eye salve, that we might see our glorified, exalted Lord. Now, by way of introduction to our message this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, the servant. You will notice in verse 1 it reads, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." So we meet the servant here, and we're told the servant is John. Again, notice what we have there in verse 9. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ." So we can see at a glance who the servant is. The servant is none other than John the Beloved. He's no mean disciple. He was the youngest of the disciples. He loved his Lord. He was the one that leaned on the Lord Jesus. He felt the heartbeat of the compassionate Savior. He was the one who was entrusted to take care of Mary. You remember reading how the three Marys were at the cross, and the Lord Jesus looked down and he saw Mary, and he said, "Woman." He never called her mother. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he saw John. Oh yes, John had got away in the night, but he was back at the cross. And John was entrusted to take care of Mary. How he learned from Mary. He would hear about those childhood days. He was blessed in so many ways. Now when we come to the book of Revelation, he's an old man. He's over 80 years of age. Some scholars tell us that he was 90 years of age. And John saw things and he heard things. John was entrusted to bring to us the book of Revelation. We are told to open the book. We are told there's a blessing for us when we read this book. You'll notice John is a servant. And every Christian ought to be a servant of Jesus Christ. He has saved us that we might serve him. He said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The Lord Jesus is looking on you and I who are his servants. We are the ambassadors for Christ. He sees us today as his servants. Could I ask you, are you witnessing for Christ by your life and by your lip? What we say for the Lord Jesus means so much. But oh, how we live says it all, doesn't it? We need to practice what we preach. So John was the servant. He was the suffering servant. We find him here in the Isle of Patmos. He's suffering for the faith. He loves his Lord and he's suffering for the cause and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice, while he's the servant, he is the brother. Did you notice what we read at verse 9? "I, John, who also am your brother." How we rejoice that brotherhood speaks to us of the family. What a blessing it is to be in the family. There's no family like the family of God. You say today, how do we get into the family? There's only one way into the family, beloved, and that is by birth. I trust as I gaze over the congregation this morning, I'm looking at men and women who are in the greatest family of all, the family of God. There was a time, there was a day when you were born of the Spirit of God, when you came into the family of God. What a blessing it is to be in the family. You know, it's sadly possible in a meeting such as this, while we meet on the Lord's Day morning to worship, it is possible there's someone with us and you're not in the family. Oh, you're in the church. You love the church. You love the pastor. But are you in the family? Was there a day, was there a place when you were saved by grace, when you repented of your sin, when you came into the family of God? What a blessing it is to be in the family. And so John, the servant here, he introduces himself and he tells us that he is our brother. Brother speaks to us of family. But you notice he speaks here about companion. Verse 9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion." That speaks about friendship. That speaks about fellowship. What a blessing it is, brother and sister, to be in God's house, to be enjoying fellowship with those of like precious faith. And so, there are many lessons we could learn this morning from John the servant. Notice what he tells us, that he is our brother, that he is our companion. Oh, one family, one friendship. And how we rejoice that there's one Lord and the Father of us all, our Father in heaven. What a blessing it is to be in the family, to be enjoying friendship, to be enjoying fellowship. You know, the mark that should be in every family, and the church family, is that of harmony and unity and charity. Oh, may that stamp be upon each of us. May we be those who are brothers and sisters in the family, who love one another, who are in harmony with one another, and who are enjoying that unity and fellowship together. So we have the servant, but then you will notice that the servant was in the Spirit. In verse 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." Oh, think of that, brother and sister. You and I live in a world of hustle and bustle. We live in a time when there are those who just don't seem to have the interest to go to God's house. They don't have the time. And they have stolen from the Lord. They have taken his day. This day, for many, is a day of trade, a day of sport, a day of recreation, a day to make profit. And there are those who neglect the house of God. They neglect the things of God. We live in a world of hustle and bustle, but we also live in a world that is hostile, a world that is opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has the society has had an impact upon the church. The church should be having an impact on that society. Many of God's people today, they have listened to the devil's lie, And the devil wants to sow discord, and he wants to cause division, he wants to cause defeat, in order that he might devour. Do you remember Peter saying, "Your adversary the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He wants to destroy the church. But praise God, the Lord is going to bless his church. Oh, be encouraged, brother and sister. I know there are many things today that would discourage us, would cause us to look in, would cause us to have perplexity. But men and women, God is on the throne, and he's going to bless his church. He's going to send his revival. Hallelujah. Jesus is not coming back for a backslidden church. He's not coming back for a blushing bride. He's coming back for a church that's radiant. He's coming back for a bride that's ready to heal his arrival. He's going to send us a revival. And he wants us, his people, to see him. He wants us to be prepared for him. And so today, as we look at these verses that are before us, I trust we'll be encouraged and we will be like John in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You know, there are those who will go to God's house today, but they'll not be in the Spirit. There's those who might be in a spirit that's critical, a bitter spirit. What a blessing it is to come to God's house with a heart of expectancy. Did you pray this morning, "Lord, bless me as I go to church. Lord, have a message for me. Touch my heart. Bless my home. Bless my family. May the preacher have a word from God that will do my soul good, that I will be able to enjoy the bread of heaven. It will be manna to my soul. It will strengthen me for the week that is to come." We need to be in the Spirit, brother and sister. The servant John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And when he was in the Spirit, he heard things and he saw things. Now, I haven't time to go through those with you this morning that I might like, but I would encourage you to read the book of Revelation. And you'll discover in chapter 4 and chapter 5 that John saw the worship of the Lamb. He saw the worship of the glorified Lord. In chapter 21, he saw the wife of the glorified Lord. He saw the church that Jesus had purchased with his own precious blood. In Revelation chapter 17, he saw the woman, the harlot who was opposed to the glorified Lord. But here in chapter 1, he saw the work of the glorified Lord. And so we have been thinking so quickly about the servant. The servant was in the Spirit. But now we come to the thrust of our message. We come to the burden of our message. You will notice we come now to the Savior himself. The servant was in the Spirit. And when the servant was in the Spirit, he saw things and he heard things. And the first thing he heard, the first thing he saw, was his glorified, exalted Lord. Oh, may we see the Lord this morning as we meditate upon his precious word. Now look with me here, and you'll notice there's the voice of the glorified Lord. There's the vision of the glorified Lord. And there's the vocation of the glorified Lord. And I pray the Lord will give us help that we might see these things and hear words from our glorified Lord. Notice, first of all, the voice of our wonderful Lord. Verse 10. "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Notice that God speaks with clarity. You might say, why a trumpet? A trumpet is an instrument which gives a particular sound. It can't be misunderstood. And when you read the scriptures, you'll find in the Old Testament that God spoke clearly. The message couldn't be misunderstood. And so we find in the book of Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16. And it reads there at verse 19. "And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice." Beloved, there's a message from heaven. God is speaking to his people and he speaks to us through his word. He speaks clearly. He speaks plainly. We can understand the message. Notice in the Old Testament, there was the message from the trumpet. But you'll notice in the New Testament, it's the message of the Lamb. Chapter 4, verse 1. Notice what it says, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as if it were a trumpet talking with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show thee things. You see, the message of the Old Testament was the message of the law. But the message of the New Testament, the law calls us to see the Lamb. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The trumpet is an instrument which is clear, and the sound comes with clarity. Now, in olden times, the army, you've all heard about the bugler. Now, with today, it's different with modern communication and radio and so forth. But in olden times, the bugler went forth. He sounded the alarm. The nation was alerted. You think particularly of Israel. The bugler would blow a particular sound, and that meant that the army would advance, or he would blow a retreat. And so they received direction from the trumpet. And God speaks to us today, and his word comes as with that clarity of a trumpet. He is directing men and women. He's directing them in a particular way. He's directing us, men and women, to the risen, glorified, exalted Lord. That's what the book does. The Old Testament, the law calls us to see that we have broken the law, we have violated the law, but at all the time, it's our schoolmaster leading us to Christ, and the book always calls us to hear what the Savior would have to say. My dear friends, we live in a day and age when men's ears are closed to the clear voice of the Word of God. But I tell you, there's a day coming when every knee will bow, when every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How we as God's people need to be praying that the Lord will bring men and women to himself. We have friends, we have loved ones who are not saved. And when that trumpet, that final trumpet sounds, they will be forever lost. How we want to see them into the family of God. We want to see them into this great family. And we need to pray. And we need them to hear the voice. You see, the voice today is one of invitation. Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John heard the voice of invitation. How we rejoice. There's that great voice that calls of invitation. Oh, I know there's a voice one day that will sound loud and clear. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. But we're in the day of grace, and the voice is that of invitation. If there's one with us, and one who today will hear this message, I pray that they will forsake their sin, they will give up their sin, and they will come in saving faith to Christ. I pray the Holy Spirit will give them repentance to forsake their sin, give them faith to embrace the Savior, and they will be soundly saved by grace alone. How we rejoice that Jesus saves. And there made many allegations and accusations against Christ. But one of those accusations was, this man receiveth sinners. And bless God, he still does. Yes, he's the risen Savior. He's the exalted Savior. He's the reigning Savior. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he speaks clearly. But alas, men are not listening to his voice. What about you as God's child? Are you listening? Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. We live in a day and age when many of God's children are so far away from the shepherd, they can't hear the voice of the shepherd. May we be those who are close to the shepherd. We will hear the shepherd speaking to us. May we be like John of old. May we get close to the shepherd. May we lean on the Savior's bosom. May we, like John, feel the heartbeat of the compassionate Savior. May we be like Mary of old. May we sit at the Savior's feet and hear his word. And so John heard the voice. You'll notice also that John saw the vision. Not only did he hear the voice of the glorified Lord, with the voice that sounded like many waters, and sounded like thunder, sounded like the trumpet, but you'll notice he had a vision. It was clear. Notice what it says in verse 8. It was the vision of the Almighty. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So we're having a vision here of the Lord Jesus. And one of his titles is, he is the Almighty. You will notice he's also the Son of Man. Notice what happened at verse 12. John heard the trumpet, and he turned and he saw seven golden candlesticks. Speaking of the seven churches in Asia, modern Turkey today, he saw seven golden candlesticks. He saw seven churches. Each church had their own minister. The minister there is called the angel, the messenger. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, in the midst of the church, one like unto the Son of Man. He had a vision of the Almighty. He had a vision of the Savior. In verse 13, you will see that he had a vision of the glorified, exalted Lord. Oh, may the Lord help us that we too, like John, might see the Lord. You'll notice now what John saw. First of all, he saw the victory of the Savior. The victory of the Savior. Look at verse 13. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. Notice John saw the Savior and he was clothed. We read the Gospels. We find that vile men took the clothing of the Lord Jesus. They took that sinless garment from him. They whipped him. They spat upon him. And they put a crown of thorns upon his head. They led him out to the cross. And they nailed him to the Roman gibbet. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes. He was stripped naked at the cross. And there at the cross, the world gazed upon his naked, broken, bleeding, crushed body. And that's how the world still sees him. They see the crucifix. My dear friends, Jesus is not unclothed on the cross. He's not wearing the garment, the robes, or wearing the grave clothes. Praise God, he's wearing the royal garments. Notice what it says. In the midst, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. The Lord Jesus is wearing the royal garments. He's clothed. Notice here his ministry. Not just his victory, but you'll notice here his ministry. And this speaks to us of the royal priesthood. One like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Notice the Lord Jesus here. He's clothed. He's wearing the royal garments. He has got the government of the high priest. There's the judgment plate. Notice the Lord Jesus who stood in the hottest fire for us. And I haven't time to deal with this morning as I would like. But notice his feet. The brazen feet. Oh, we read of in the gospel. They're the bleeding feet. But notice here, he has stood in the fire. And the brazen here, it speaks there with but his feet in 15, and his feet were like fine brass. That speaks of judgment. Jesus trumped the fire out that was burning against me. He drank the cup of damnation dry. There's no punishment for the child of God. What a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus. Notice he's clothed. Here's his ministry. He's got the royal garments. He has got the judgment plate. This speaks to us of him bearing our sins for us. And our names, beloved, are written on his heart. Mother, you've got a problem. You've got your concerns. And sometimes you worry, does anyone really care about you? Care about your family, your grandchildren? My dear friend, my heavenly Father has raised his Son to sit in the place of power, in the place of authority. That Son is touched today with the feelings of our infirmity. He knows about that wayward child. He knows about that sick one today. He knows about your problems. He knows about your home. He cares for you. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he says, I'll never fail you. We have one who is triumphant. Notice here his victory, his ministry. Notice his vitality. He is all power. Notice it says here, we've already mentioned his feet like fine brass. Notice his head and his hair were white as snow. And as white as wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Christians ought to read that. Those who make a profession ought to read it. The Lord Jesus is looking at his church. And with those flaming eyes, he's burning through the hypocrisy. He's burning through the sham. He's burning through the pretense. He sees his people. He loves his people. But he knows those who are just living a false have a false profession, who are living a life of pretense. Oh, how men and women ought to recognize that God is on the throne. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He sees his church. He loves his church. And he wants his church to be marching forward. and enjoying victory every day. Our glorified Lord. Oh, this chapter speaks to us about His victory. It speaks to us about His ministry. It speaks to us about His vitality. Notice His authority there in verse 15. His feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and His voice as the sound of many waters. He is all power. He is all authority. And He had in His right hand seven stars. The ministers are in His hands. Hallelujah. And out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and His countenance was as the shining, as the sun shineth in His strength. Our Savior is all authority. He rules in the affairs of men. How we rejoice. We come to one who has all power and all authority. And that one who has all authority commissions you, commissions myself, to go out and be His witnesses. Do you remember His great high priestly prayer? He said, Father, as Thou hast sent me, even so send I them. He sends us forth. You know, it's good to come to God's house, enjoy His word, enjoy fellowship. But we've got to go out there. There's a word that's lost, a word that's perishing. And He has entrusted us with the greatest message that ever was told. To go out there and tell men and women that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brother and sister, I trust we will realize afresh that our Savior is all power. He commissions you. He empowers us to go forth with this tremendous message of Jesus and His love. You'll notice there, brother and sister, in verse 17, that there's a message of sympathy. Oh, the sympathy of our Savior. The sympathy of this all-powerful one. Notice what He says. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet. Notice it. And He laid His right hand on me, saying unto me, fear not. Do you see the sympathizing one? The one who's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. The one who touched the leper. He comes near to you. He comes near to me. When there's sickness, when there's the problem, there's this sympathizing Savior. Oh, how He loves you, brother and sister. How He wants to bless your church. How He wants to bless your home. May we let the Lord have His way in our lives. May we know God's very best. Notice the majesty of the Savior in verse 18. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. This is the risen Savior. He's the Amen. I have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, you see, He's all-powerful. And He says, write these things which thou hast seen. Record them. Brother and sister, there's a blessing for us when we read this book. When we see the vitality of the Savior, see the authority of the Savior. But notice how sympathetic He is. And then just lay to heart His majesty. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a Savior. Our time is gone. But could I give you a verse to take home with you? Look at chapter 5 and look at verse 12. Notice what it says about our wonderful Lord. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, beloved, the Savior wants to bless you. How are you living for Him? Do you love Him? Are you serving Him? Are you just a comfortable Christian? Amy Carmichael, great missionary, wrote a little book called Comfy Christian. And in that book, she tells about a little girl who was invited to a birthday party. And her mother loved her little daughter, and she bought her a nice dress to go to the birthday party. And she said, now, Mary, you be a good girl. Don't disgrace the family. You be a good girl. And the little girl went off to the birthday party, highly excited. She came home, and her mommy says, well, Mary, were you a good girl? Well, mommy, I wasn't very good, but I wasn't very naughty. I was just comfy. And that's how many Christians are today. They're comfortable in the world, comfortable in sin. When they should see that we're strangers and pilgrims, we're on the way home. Men and women, soon the King will come. And you and I are going to meet Him. Will it be empty-handed? How will we meet our glorified Lord? I trust today that the Lord will stir our hearts, that we'll love Him with all our hearts. We'll serve Him with our very best. And we'll see that His work is forward. No matter what others do, as far as I'm concerned, I'll live for Christ and I'll serve my risen Savior. You've been so patient, so attentive. Thank you for coming. God bless you.